We've drawn lots for the reading order, and the fellow who came up with the lucky number one was Rick Brueking, seated in the front row. Rick has written for his pleasure and for the amusement of his friends and family. He cites Italo Calvino, Lauren Isley, and Colin Turnbull among his favorite authors. Ladies and gentlemen, Rick Brueking.
Thank you, Dick. Dick didn't mention that he limited us all to 5 minutes. I only have 4 minutes worth of work here for you, so for the first minute, turn off your cell phones, please. I call this the last parody. Sir Walter Raleigh is a family friend. My grandfather, Herman, was said to arise after midnight to smoke a cigarette, for his addiction to tobacco was so great. He was denied a substantial inheritance by a stepmother who favored her own son and lived an angry life. He left for the coast, finally separating from his wife after a fist fight with his son in 1935. I never knew him, but he left his addiction with his son, and his son passed it to me. Herman died, and his ashes were mailed back to the Midwest. What they now call cremains arrived in the mail in a wooden box. That box moved with the family for several decades before ending in the attic at our farm. My father, Harry, struggled through a decade with active heart disease before a stroke brought him low at age 65, my age. While my mother called the EMTs, he crawled across the floor to enjoy what he knew would be his last cigarette. He was right. At mother's request, I removed but did not discard his tobacco products. Formerly strong, fun, and creative, my dad detested his weakness and loss of emotional control and the quality of his life after the stroke. He died in 1980 during smoking-related bypass surgery. Harry was a poor candidate for that thoracic insult, but he was a gambler and an atheist and unafraid of death. He told his surgeon to forego the heroics if the operation wasn't entirely successful, for he did fear dependency. An assortment of smoking paraphernalia, pipes, cleaners, clips, papers, cigars, and tobacco were already crated and stored with Herman's box in place to welcome his ashes to the farmhouse attic. If you knew Harry, you'd knew that when he said, "Throw my ashes into the manure spreader," he wasn't kidding. In a poem entitled Men of Smoke, I wrote of reuniting their ashes in a hayfield some years later, but this story is not about that. This story is about smoking the remains of my father's tobacco. From our farm and weekend retreat, it's about 15 miles to Prairie du Chien. As a smoker, to avoid a 30-mile trip if I ran out of smokes, I'd periodically smoke a bowlful of his pipe tobacco or enjoy the rare Perotti to slake my genetic needs. Perottis are technically cigarillos, and they're sold in pairs. They're the same nasty piece of the tobacconist's art that Clint Eastwood, the man with no name, smoked in a fistful of dollars. His sneer and demeanor reflected the Perotti on his palate. But they look cool, and Dad left me two packs buried in a tin of premium select mix pipe tobacco. Slowly, intermittently, I enjoyed three of them, mellowing over the years. But then I quit smoking 25 years ago, and 20 years ago I quit again, and then 18 years ago finally, and got remarried and didn't have much need for smoking anymore except for the occasional Newport menthol with my old farm buddy Dick Redman until he quit 5 years ago. Whew. 68 years is a long time, but it's a short life. 32 years is an eternity if you're missing. Harry would have turned 100 this January 7th, but he died young. He's missed. Ask anyone who knew him. Ask Dick. On his birthday, I communed with him and Herman once again and smoked, nay I say savored, the last pierogi. Was it dry, you may ask? Hell yeah, it was dry. Pierogis are always dry. It didn't taste the worse for waiting, but I'm finally done.
Thanks, Greg.